next year.
This is the Sunday Sermon with Dan and Brennan. I am Brennan, and joined with me as always is Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, say what's up to the people, Dan.
What's up to the people, Dan?
Perfect. All right. As you guys probably know, because he's very famous, Dan writes for a Cleveland, what would you call it, Dan?
I feel like it's more than a blog.
It's definitely more than a blog. I didn't want to say blog. I felt like, you know, I was underselling it.
I mean, it's good enough that I awarded myself a Pulitzer Prize for the writing for it. So, I mean, it's, well, I mean, we got over 10,000 Twitter followers. We're a pretty big deal.
Okay, wow.
Once you get the K on the followers on Twitter, that means you've made it.
Wow. Yeah, that is, okay, that is incredible. Yeah, so Dan writes for Waiting for Next Year, and I started a blog. It is a blog. That's 100% what it is.
Definitely called
The Point After at tpaguys.com. We cover way more than sports, but that is definitely our focus. But anyway,
yeah, like life therapists. You know,
if you are having a shitty day and you want to laugh at some like self-depreciating humor at my expense, at Dan's expense, yeah, we are your go-to guys. But we've decided to collaborate on this podcast. We did one last week, kind of sucked. Quality was pretty bad.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
content was great. That's all that matters.
Content was great. Recording quality was shitty, but we're bouncing back from that. And you're going to be able to stream this podcast on The Point After and Waiting for Next Year, I believe.
Yeah. You know, we overcame the adversity, you know, which is a big thing in sports. Every time you lose, you have to overcome adversity, and we adapt and overcome.
Yeah.
And so as we, you know, this being our second episode, but this is the second time we're going to do it, so we have 100% success rate.
100%, batting 1,000.
Talked just like Tim Tebow. In every show talking about Tim Tebow.
Well, he might as well be batting 1,000, Dan. Our Lord and Savior, Tim Tebow, has rocketed past the Mendoza line.
250.
250, which is a really good number. It's a round number, you know?
Last week when we did this, he was hitting 176. So that's what, 74 points in a week? That's impressive.
NBD, but KBD, Dan?
Yeah, it is kind of a big deal.
I did call his stats.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. So last week we do a Tebow prediction for, you know, what he's going to do for that day. This Brennan said Tebow was going to go 2 for 4, and he didn't just stop there. He said with a double, and somehow, some way, Tim Tebow did go 2 for 4 with a double. I still don't know. Minor league teams do weird stuff, and I wouldn't be surprised if they played like a 9:30 a.m. game and you already knew that it happened or something, and I just never checked because I didn't care. But I don't know how you figured that out or how you guessed.
I really was just grabbing at straws, and it just worked out really well. I mean, that's not true at all. I'm a baseball savant. And, but yeah, he yesterday against the, I don't know, some team from Delaware. No, I take that back.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just going to say they were a big-time minor league team.
Completely mistaken on that. He played a team in Hickory.
Yeah, like the Hoosiers or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
The Hickory – what's the name of this team? Oh, I feel – the Hickory Crawdads, which is the most minor league baseball team name of all time. The Hickory Crawdads.
I can't believe I forgot that. My dad was a season ticket holder for years.
I mean, whose father wasn't?
You're right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess that wasn't something to brag about.
But he went 4 for 1 at the plate. Also scored a run, though.
Yeah. You know, so he's hitting 250. The most impressive stat, and I think it's the most obvious, though, no steals, no caught stealing, because he's not a center. He would never rob anybody. So
people forget that.
People do forget that. All right, so let's just roll in to what's your prediction for Tebow tonight or today or tomorrow?
I think that Tebow's going to slow down tonight. I think he's going to go 0 for 4.
Yeah, both. See, I'm with you on the no hits. He's going to go 0 for 0 with 4 sacrifices.
Okay.
Yep.
I like that a lot. That's good. Actually, the game already started. They're playing right now, so we could probably update you as it goes on, but we won't because we'll forget and we're stupid.
Yeah, and because we've talked about Tim Tebow now for already, 3 minutes, which means it's time to roll in to the NFL draft.
Yeah, wow. Oh, my God. Is John Lynch the best GM in football?
You know what? I don't know who he's the GM. Is he the GM for the Broncos?
No, the 49ers.
49ers? Okay, yeah. See, I didn't know. Yeah, they actually absolutely robbed Chicago. That was highway robbery. They gave up literally nothing for how many picks do they get next year?
They got three. Three this year, one next year.
And they were never going to draft Trubisky.
No, they took the exact same person they were going to take.
Well, somebody made a good point the other day. Who traded up? The Bears, they might have had to give up a lot because Houston might have been trying to trade up too, so it might have been a bidding war there. But regardless, the Niners just absolutely destroyed the Bears franchise for the next, like, 3 years.
Yeah, and let's be honest, destroying the Bears franchise is a pretty easy job considering
you kind of have to pay for them.
But yeah, Mitch Trubisky, holy cow. I mean, they automatically got a D- as soon as they made that pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to have a quarterback. As a Browns fan, we know. I mean, I guess we don't know because we've literally never had one. But I'm not trading up. I'm not sacrificing the next 3 years, however many picks they gave up for Mitchell Trubisky. He started 1 year at North Carolina.
Yeah. Powerhouse, North Carolina.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, Tar Heels are always in on it.
But the Browns did not screw this up, did they?
No, the Browns didn't screw this up, not yet. I mean, it's always fun to talk about who won the draft and stuff, but you really have absolutely no idea until, like, 3 years later. Because the Browns, we also thought we had a great draft when we drafted Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel, and neither of them are on the team anymore. They also thought they had a fantastic draft when they drafted Trent Richardson and Brandon Weeden, and neither of them, Richardson's not even in football, and Weeden, he's probably in a nursing home or something. He's probably in hospice.
Yeah, I think he's the quadruple string quarterback on the Cowboys or something.
The quadruple string? Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yeah.
But for the Browns, you gotta love the Myles Garrett pick. And I liked the Jabril Peppers pickup. I was surprised. A lot of people weren't about that pick for the Browns. But, I mean, they need safety help for sure. And then they got Kaiser in the third round, right?
Second round.
Oh, second? Was it late second, or was that their first second round?
Very early second.
Well, whatever. I mean, I'm not – that's a low-risk, high-reward. You don't got to give him first-round money, and if he doesn't pan out, we expect that. We're Browns fans. So it's
you take the pressure off of him, and I'm a big mentor guy. I think you see a lot of success with guys who are being mentored, and, I mean, Kaiser's going to be mentored by Brock Osweiler.
That's true, and Brock Osweiler's really tall, which means he's closer to God, so he might have some things that Kaiser doesn't know about, even being from Notre Dame.
Ooh, that is true. He did go to an Irish Catholic school, so very self-depreciating.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's kind of rough.
I thought the most obvious pick of the night, or the best pickup of the night, was the Bengals drafting John Ross.
Yeah, speedy.
Ross broke the combine record for the 40-yard dash time, which is really going to come in handy when he's running away from the cops because he's on the Bengals. And it's – you aren't actually – so you sign a contract or whatever, but you aren't actually on the Bengals until you get arrested.
That is true. Ask Pac-Man Jones.
Exactly. That's why he gets arrested. He used to get arrested like every other week because he really wanted to be on the Bengals.
It's like his number one offseason priority is to get arrested.
Yeah. I mean, it's – some guys like to recover, work out, get stronger for next year, and Pac-Man Jones is just – trying to see how many misdemeanors he can rack up before he goes to jail.
Oh, nice. Also, we have the blackest team in football.
No offense.
Hashtag not racist. Taking the whitest skill player in the draft.
Yeah, that Christian McCaffrey going to the Panthers. You got to imagine him and Cam Newton are going to be really good friends off the field.
Yeah, they're going to hang out. Kind of like Kevin Love, LeBron James situation. Probably going to be real tight.
Best friends, you know, maybe leave them out of some Instagram pictures just to rile up the crowd a little bit.
Yeah, that's guessing. That's good.
You know, speaking of Kevin Love, I mean, the trade deadline's been over for, almost 2 months, and we've gone 2 months without a Kevin Love being traded rumor. So I'd like to start one. I think I heard LeBron hasn't mentioned Kevin Love on social media in a while, so could Kevin Love be getting traded?
To the Bucks for Matthew Dellavedova?
Yeah. That's a possibility. Darren Williams has been playing pretty well, but can always use a little more grit in the backcourt.
Yeah, a little bit more grit is always what you need, especially on a team the softest player in basketball.
And now with the Bucks being out of the playoffs, and I know this is against the rules, but David Griffin's pretty much a magician, so maybe somehow he finds a loophole in the NBA waiver wire, the trade talks, and maybe Kevin Love gets traded for Matthew Dellavedova coming up this week.
Ooh. I think you should be able to make one trade in the playoffs.
That would be sweet, because then the best player would just leave and play for the Cavs.
Yeah.
So, that would be – I mean, that's pretty much all that happens anyways. We got Kyle Korver, Darren Williams, and we had Bogut for 37 seconds, which was pretty sweet. But
yeah, that was nice.
That's what's cool about the NBA is that for literally the next 5 years, it's going to be Cavs and Warriors, and there's absolutely nothing that anybody can do about it. The best team in the NBA right now, other than the Cavs and Warriors, is the 76ers, because they're going to be good in 2021 when the Cavs are starting to slow down.
Trust
and
the
everybody,
process.
Yeah, exactly. No, but seriously, I mean, the Hawks have made the playoffs like 9 years in a row, and they always lose to the Cavs or get knocked out in the second round, so it doesn't matter. So lose, suck it up, and then you're good in 5 years.
If the Cavs win the championship this year, does Bogut get a ring?
Probably. I mean, he's getting paid. So, and I think maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he was under contract through next year too. So, but yeah. I don't know. I'm totally just guessing that. I feel like I heard that. enough about the Cavs. We'll get back into the basketball thing in a minute. Well, I do want to get to Joe Thomas this week talking about how he's having some memory loss, and he's not sure if it's from football, because all the doctors and all the research and the science that we've had that said, yeah, football messes up your head, it's not good for you. And Joe Thomas is 32 years old, never missed a snap in the NFL, and isn't sure if it's from football or if he's just getting old.
So, I'm going to say he's just getting old.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's an offensive lineman. They never get hit.
That's a low contact
exactly.
Position. So
it's very rare, especially in today. Maybe back in the 60s when guys were tough, you know. But these days, guys are wearing sleeves and face masks and stuff like that. There's no room for injury.
Face masks, a bunch of pussies.
Exactly. We'll edit that one out. It's not safe for the kids.
Yeah. So Joe Thomas says that he forgets what he's buying at the grocery store when he goes.
We all do that.
Yeah,
so
he doesn't.
That's not, right. So let's not blame football on that, people.
Joe Thomas, check yourself before you wreck yourself, brother.
I took a list to the grocery store the other day of all the things my wife wanted me to get, and I forgot like six things. So it happens.
Yeah, and you had a list.
Yeah, and not even on my phone, like a paper list. So like you wrote it down, and that's supposed to help you remember, and then I'm looking at it as I'm shopping. And I'm like, oh, I got to go get eggs. And then I come home, and where's the eggs? Like,
Dan, you know what they say? When you meet somebody, to remember their name, you put it into the conversation three times. Have you ever heard that, Devin? I mean, fuck, Dan?
No, I usually just get the name tattooed on me immediately so I never forget. But I just met some people this weekend. And right when we left, I was said to my wife about how I got to get better at remembering people's names, because people literally introduce themselves to me. I shake their hand, look them in the eye, and they say their name. And after I'm done shaking their hands, I have no idea what it was. And the rest of the night, I'm just praying to God that I don't have to say it at any point.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of – I hope they forgot my name too. So,
oh, yeah, that is the best. Yeah. I was at a bar Wednesday night, just kind of, you know, doing man things, and a chick asked me in the middle of the conversation what her name was.
Ooh, a girl.
Yeah.
She asked you what her name was?
In the middle of the conversation, she said,
she just walked away.
Do you remember my name? I said, I have no idea.
But you didn't tell me. Prove that you told me.
Yeah, she told
me. You should have pulled it back on her, said, do you remember my name? And when she said Brennan, you should have said, no, it's Dave or something like that. Just made it up. How would she know?
It's Bob. I said no. She told me her name again, and no idea. Don't remember.
Still don't remember that? Well, it sounds like things are going well for you.
Yeah, you could say it's getting pretty serious.
Yeah. She's supposed to tell it to you three times. Isn't that what you just said or something? See, I already forgot what you said. So ESPN, bunch of layoffs this week. A lot of big names, which was pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, just to kind of take it back here on a serious note, I will never celebrate somebody losing their job, especially how many people did, and a lot of skilled people I really love or have come to really appreciate their work were laid off this week. But my heart is broken, Dan.
And why is that?
Britt McHenry was let go.
Yeah, and that's only, see, it's tough when people lose their jobs, even tougher when hot women lose their jobs.
Yeah, because what are the chances of her bouncing back?
That knows stuff about football.
Yeah, that is, whew. I mean, I'm getting worked up just thinking about it. Usually beautiful women who know about sports really don't bounce back in this industry. So thoughts and prayers to Britt McHenry's career.
Right. Yeah. Aaron Andrews having a real tough time.
Yeah, maybe they'll team up, Aaron Andrews and Britt McHenry on Fox, kind of like a cougar and the young cow. I wanted to say bull, but that just ruined it.
Okay. You know, of the people not laid off from ESPN, and this is super unfortunate, as you said, you don't celebrate people getting laid off. I do, if I don't like them.
Okay, that's fair.
It's totally acceptable. But Stephen A. Smith did not get laid off, and that is absolutely ridiculous. Because, first of all, I found out that this week that Stephen A. Smith makes $3.5 million a year.
Did you find that out from my blog, Dan, maybe?
Maybe. I might have. I think I did, actually. That's ridiculous. That dude knows nothing more about sports than me. He just is better at yelling, I guess, and people know who he is. But SportsCenter used to be cool because, like, you could wake up and you could watch 6 hours of highlights because they showed, like, every run scored in a baseball game and, like, every basket in a basketball game. And then at some point, like, 5 or 6 years ago, ESPN got this brilliant idea where they're like, people would probably like if we stopped showing highlights and we just let Stephen A. Smith talk for 8 hours a day with Skip Bayless. People will probably love that. About the same thing the whole day. We're just going to talk about Tebow or LeBron not winning a championship and see what people do.
And to be honest, it's kind of backfiring.
Yeah, apparently. See, you'd think that they'd look at it and be like, okay, since we started doing this, it's not working out. So we're going to hire the quality journalists that we have, or we're going to fire the quality journalists we have, and we're going to keep Stephen A. Smith, the guy who's not working out for us.
Yeah, I of course, you know, Stephen A. Smith went on to defend himself when he got a criticism for not being fired. He wanted to remind the world that because we don't like him, we're all racists.
Oh, did he? I am shocked.
He said if he was white, we wouldn't call him loud, we'd call him passionate.
I've never called Skip Bayless passionate, so, and I actually hate Skip Bayless 100 times more than I hate Stephen A. Smith. So am I reverse racist here?
Ooh, you know what? I was just about to say that I hate Stephen A. Smith more than Skip Bayless, but I'm afraid that's going to get me into even more trouble. So let's just move on.
Maybe you should watch your mouth.
Yeah,
huh?
This is getting political. I don't like it.
Yeah, no. Well, should we roll into our politics segment?
Yeah, we should, actually. Perfect timing.
All right. I have nothing written down for that, so I guess moving on, that was your politics for the day.
Yeah, guys, you know what? I always say form your own opinions, but what we just said was pretty knowledgeable. So
yeah, exactly. You know, it was unbiased. Wasn't to the right or to the left. I'm pretty neutral. We'll roll into – let's go to the NBA playoffs.
Yeah,
so,
please. Tell me about them because I don't watch them.
Yeah, so I'm like the basketball guy, and Brennan's the hockey guy. He knows nothing about hoops. I know nothing about hockey, so we kind of complete each other. I did watch a hockey game last night, though. I watched the Caps get destroyed. That was like my yearly hockey watch. The NBA playoffs, the Cavs and the Raptors start a four-game series tomorrow. Everybody's going to be like, oh, you're an idiot, seven-game series. But the Cavs are sweeping the Eastern Conference playoffs. They shouldn't even have to play. Absolutely ridiculous. All we're doing is risking injury to LeBron or to Kyrie or Kevin Love and going to hurt ratings in the NBA Finals. They should just have a bye until, like, I don't know, game four of the NBA Finals or something.
Oh, game four. Okay.
Yeah, because the Warriors are probably – it'll probably be 2-1 Warriors at that point. We could just start the series from there.
Okay, I like that.
So the Celtics and the Wizards are playing right now. The Celtics were down 16-0 to start the game, and then they ended up being up by 15. I turned the TV off to do this. So I don't know what the score is, and I don't care enough to check because all I really wanted to talk about was before Game 5 of the Wizards-Hawks games, John Wall wore a cape as if he was like some sort of superhero. I'm pretty sure there's, like, first of all, if you wear a cape and you're going to pull that superhero thing, you're a loser. But also, if you do it in the first round of the NBA playoffs against the Atlanta Hawks and you're a four seed, that nothing more lame than that.
Yeah, that is, you're really drawing a generous comparison to yourself, to a superhero, when you're putting on a cape.
This is the same guy, though, who decided it would be a sweet idea for the Wizards to wear all black to the Celtics or to Boston this year, because they were gonna, it was their funeral game in the middle of the regular season, because we all know how much NBA players care about the regular season.
Yeah, that's why they never rest, play every game,
never,
every minute.
I don't think that was a problem at all this year, was it? We talked about that a little last week, about how people were complaining that guys play too much.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous. LeBron looks tired, and we need to give that guy a rest.
Speaking of that, ESPN had a great article this week about is LeBron James slowing down? And they went into all, like, the fancy schmancy science of, like, you know, the rest and the workload he's put out. But just an absolutely awesome time after LeBron coming off legitimately his best season ever. He went, like, 25-8-8 on, like, 54% shooting. And he just had – just swept the Pacers, where he almost averaged a triple-double in four games. So you got to begin to wonder, is he slowing down? I mean, what do you think?
I say that he is 1,000% slowing down, Dan.
Yeah, you got to believe it.
He sweats this year more than I've ever seen. Oh, granted, I don't watch a lot of basketball, but LeBron James is wet every game.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, maybe he's is he drinking too much water? Is that a thing?
You know what?
It's weighing him down, which makes it heavier on his knees.
I once saw a documentary about taking ecstasy in nightclubs in Miami, and apparently drinking too much water is a thing.
Is that what they call it now? Documentary? Is that what they call autobiographies?
Or it wasn't Miami. It was a dirty hipster bar in Brooklyn.
Or was it Toby's down at Camp Lejeune?
And it was meth alone. But yeah, same thing. Yep. Let's not bring up Toby's.
Last NBA playoffs thing, Mike Brown, the former Cavs coach and also the former Cavs coach, is coaching the Warriors because Steve Kerr is sick, which is unfortunate. But this is going to be...
He's got a bad back, Dan. He's not sick. He's got a bad back.
Yeah, whatever. He just smokes weed to make it better, so he's sick. But Mike Brown, I think, maybe not anymore, but at one point Mike Brown was getting paid by the Cavs for two contracts and the Lakers, and he was the smartest man in the NBA. He was like, I'm going to ride out being good with the Cavs for a few years because I had LeBron, get another coaching contract, get fired, and then people will be like, oh, well, the Lakers just didn't give him a chance. Then I'm going to get rehired and get fired from that job, and I'm going to be making three salaries, and I'm not going to work a single day.
Yeah, so, that's awesome. You know, just to draw a little comparison, Charlie Weiss still getting paid by Notre Dame.
Is he really?
Just want to throw that out.
Well, he signed like a 10-year deal in like 07, didn't he? And then they fired him like 3 years later.
Yeah, if not the next year.
Great deal by Notre Dame. But so if Mike Brown, if he is, I don't think he is, but if he is still getting paid by the Cavs, does he have to throw the game for the Warriors? Or is he not allowed to coach? There's got to be some legal stuff going on in that one.
Yeah, that does sound like a breach of contract. Okay.
Let's move on to you want to get into hockey?
Are you done talking about your soft little baby sport?
Here, you know what? That's a perfect way to roll into hockey. We're going to talk about soft little baby sports. Hockey guys are supposed to be so tough, and I'm watching this game last night. They have two halftimes.
Yeah, intermissions.
Absolutely ridiculous. What other sport has two halftimes?
You got me there, Dan. I got to admit, you truly got me there.
Real tough. Halftime is the worst thing about sports because it's like, okay, what do I do? Like, I have to pee real bad, but that's not going to take 14 minutes.
Yeah.
And now you have to do that twice in hockey. How do you handle that?
It's a lot of pressure. Usually I make a sandwich.
Twice? Like each?
Yeah.
Each mission?
Yeah, both times.
Tell me a little bit about the playoffs. The Cavs got absolutely smoked.
Yeah, it is 2017, and apparently it is not the Cavs' year.
Is it? No, I thought it was. No. I thought this was the year.
They were absolutely handled by my boys in black and gold last night.
Hear that, Cleveland? He's a Pittsburgh fan. That's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, well, anyway, how's Cleveland's hockey team doing?
Moving on. Shut your mouth. Okay. The Monsters won the AHL, the Calder Cup last year, so...
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. Hush. Mm. I bet our arena football team's better, too.
I'm going to be honest. You 100% got me there. I have no response.
Because the Penguins didn't win the Stanley Cup last year or anything.
They did. They did win the Stanley Cup last year.
Shit.
I didn't see it, though. I was floating on a metal piece of shit in the South China Sea. Anyway, though. yeah, so they got handled by the Penguins 6-2. The Penguins, man, they're just too fast. They are way too fast. Coming into the series that the Caps would have too much depth on defense, especially, but it hasn't been a problem.
Yeah, that's pretty ironic that the Penguins are fast, because in real life they just waddle. Like I said, I don't know anything about hockey, but I am definitely not rooting for the Penguins in any game because of that one video that surfaced last year of the female penguin cheating on her husband with another more handsome penguin.
Oh, that was rough.
You know, if you can make a mistake and realize you married an ugly penguin, but you have to live with that. That doesn't just give you free rein to, you know, get in the ice sheets with any penguin that you feel like.
Yeah, and nothing worse than getting cucked and then getting your ass kicked by said cucker, so.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's bad. That did happen. See, you know, that's why I don't like Sidney Crosby. He should really control his species. Are they going extinct?
I feel like there's like 8,000 species of penguins, so I really don't know.
So one of them has to be. So
at least one.
Penguins are going extinct. Save the penguins.
Hashtag save the penguins.
I'm just like Reese Witherspoon spoke out against elephant poaching last week. I'm going to speak out against penguin poaching. Don't do it, guys.
Yeah, you're probably going to find some resistance to that because people hate penguins. But you know, good luck. I'm not going to stand with you.
Well, don't do it, guys. They're pretty cool. They slide on their bellies. You know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I do support penguin poaching because in Mario Kart, when you're in that one ice level, those penguins will wreck your world.
Yeah, yeah. I do know what you're talking about. I used to smoke a lot of weed.
Which, like, coincides with playing a lot of Mario Kart.
Yeah, if you want to reach for that connection instead of just letting the people figure it out for themselves. Anyway, the Rangers. Holy shit. Thoughts and prayers to New York. Everybody in New York woke up crying today. The Rangers are probably the most underachieving team that there's ever been in the history of ever.
What about the Blackhawks? Weren't they the one seed and got swept in the first round?
Yeah, but that was a freak accident.
Yeah, see, you think I don't know anything about hockey. I'm throwing all these curveballs or these curved pucks at you.
Yeah, I let you have your piece when you talked about basketball, but, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, I triple deked you here. Go on.
Dude, that's a great, great movie reference. Yeah, so Ottawa beat the Rangers in overtime 6-5. It was the most goals in a game this whole postseason so far. Really exciting game. New York's got to be so deflated. They scored two shorthand goals and then went on to lose. It's kind of a bummer. I mean, you're losing to Erik Karlsson with two broken bones in his heel, and he's still just, like, skating circles around your entire defense. Pretty rough. Edmonton took the first game against, Anaheim, excuse me. That was super embarrassing. And Nashville took the first game against St. Louis. Really don't have much to say about those games. They were kind of boring, not going to lie. And they're on the West Coast, so I don't really stay up that late and kind of just catch the highlights the next day.
That's fair. I mean, the West Coast sport shouldn't even exist. But I do take a little offense to something that I got a little triggered here. To something you said about somebody scoring shorthand goals. I'm pretty tall, but I have very small hands. So take that back.
You got Whopper Jr. hands?
I do. I look really... So sometimes I look in the mirror and I just laugh because I'm 6'2", and my wife is 5'4", and we almost have the same exact size hands. And she doesn't have big hands.
Not to brag.
I look absolutely ridiculous. Well, what's a shorthand goal, though, sir? Is that when you're on a power play but you still score?
It's when the opposing team is on a power play and you score, yeah. And they did that twice. They did it twice. They have Michael Grabner, who's got to be, like, the fastest guy in hockey. It is unreal how fast he is.
Maybe I can't. I don't understand how people are good at going fast in hockey. I was in Chicago last year, and I ice skated for the first time probably since like the sixth grade because I got kicked out of Winterhurst ice rink for throwing ice at people. But yeah, but I went ice skating, and when we were like walking by it all day, I was like, I could do that. Like, that doesn't look hard. And then when we were finally going, the closer and closer we got to the rink, like, and I could see it, and then I was like up close watching people skate, I was like, there's no way I can do this. And I laced up my skates, and I could not do it. I was babying it the whole time, holding the wall. And I was getting really mad because all the cool high school kids were there, like, sprinting on their skates, and they would do the thing where they turn, and they stop, and the ice shoots up, and it looks sweet. And all the girls definitely wanted to take them to homecoming, but I was just holding the wall, and my wife was making fun of me.
Ooh, so your wife's better on skates.
Yeah, that is the only thing she's better at me than that athletically. Or athletic-wise, she beat me. I'm still not over this, and I still don't know how it happened. She's the worst bowler in the entire world. Like, if I needed somebody to roll a gutter ball or I was going to die, I would definitely call upon her. And one time, like 2 years ago, she beat me in bowling, and she never lets me live it down because I always make fun of her whenever we go. Because three times, you know how in Wii bowling, if you hold the button too long, the ball goes backwards?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She did that in real life three times. So literally the worst bowler ever. And she's also bowled it where it went into the wrong lane, and she somehow beat me once, and I don't know how I'm still alive. I'm proud of myself for not letting me take that over the edge, whatever you want to say.
You won't find a lot of rope in the Harrington household.
No, not none. You got anything more about hockey, or should we move into MSN splaining?
No, let's move into MSN splaining.
All right, so for most of you who haven't heard this before, which is probably everybody if you're even listening, MSN Explaining is a little segment we like to do where MSN explains things, because MSN is the best, worst website in the entire world. Lots of articles, no quality content. It's just a bunch of stupid stuff. So I took my four favorite articles of the week. First, mad respect to two gentlemen who taped $400,000 worth of cocaine to their bodies and tried to fly to New York. Obviously from Colombia. But you got to have some balls. First of all, you got to be really stupid. Second of all, you got to have some balls to be like, hey, I'm going to strap a couple $100,000 worth of coke to my body and go through the airport where there's obviously no security, especially after 9/11 in America, and see what happens.
Yeah, were these fat guys? Did they think they were going to be able to like cover it up with a sweatshirt?
No. they taped it to their butt. It was like around their thighs and their calves and their, I don't know, their like chest. They didn't like, it was weird. They taped it around it, and then they wore spandex over it, like tights and stuff, and then they wore clothes over that. And apparently the one dude he was wearing baggy pants, but his calves were bulging. Apparently, you know, they just don't respect people who do thousands of calf raises a day, and they pulled him aside. So that was a little discrimination against people who work out.
Yeah, so literally the worst drug mules of all time is what you're telling me.
Yeah, basically. They better hope that they stay in jail in New York for a long time, because the second they get out, they're getting popped. I've seen SVU. I watch a lot of Law & Order, and they're definitely not making it 24 hours after they get out.
I mean, $400,000 is kind of a drop in the bucket. I'm sure it's a manageable loss.
Right, at least for them.
What happens to all that cocaine, Dan?
The cops snort it. Haven't you ever seen, or they just keep it in the back of the station? Haven't you ever seen 22 Jump Street, or 21 Jump Street, I think it was?
Sure.
Where they're trying to, you've seen that? When they're trying to throw the party, and they're like getting the drugs, and he gets a bunch of coke, and he's like, we're trying to show them a good time, not ruin their lives, man. And they just smoke a bunch of weed instead.
I would have went with the coke. Anyway.
But speaking of $400,000, this is another MSN splaining. President Obama accepted, or charged, I guess you should say, charged $400,000 to speak at Wall Street, which totally goes against pretty much everything he preached for 8 years. So I guess this could have fell into politics earlier. You know, all about closing the wage gap and, you know, not letting the big banks on Wall Street win. But I am going to take $400,000 to speak.
Yes. Speaking of closing the wage gap, didn't Hillary Clinton charge $200,000 to speak on Wall Street?
few times, and Bill Clinton in 2011 maybe like earned over $2.5 million speaking at Wall Street. So
fucked.
No big deal.
That is incredible.
See, nobody. President Obama, president for 8 years. You know, it'd probably be pretty cool to hear him speak. But there's nobody that could have enough substance in anything they said that it would be worth $400,000. I don't care how much money you have. Like, it is not worth $400,000 to pay somebody to speak. You could just. It's not like he wrote it down. You know, somebody's going to write his speech for him. You could get a pretty quality writer, maybe Stephen A. Smith, to write a speech and okay, just pay somebody like $40.
I would pay Aaron Hernandez $400,000 to hear his story.
Rest in peace.
Oh, fuck. That's right. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oops. This will go pretty well for us. Enlisted military... fourth worst job in the United States.
Don't even get me started. What was worse?
The ones that were worse actually were bloggers and journalists.
You're making that up. There's no way.
I swear to God, the worst job was blogger/journalist. I can't remember what the third one was. We don't read articles, we read headlines. But yeah, fourth worst job. And so we actually have two of the four worst jobs in the United States. That's mightily impressive of us. Our lives are working.
Cancel the podcast. I am in tears right now. Are you kidding me? I was about to go off on a tangent of what could possibly be worse than being enlisted in the military, and then you drop that on me. Wow. Okay.
I don't make any money doing this, so I don't. It's not a job. But it's just something I do for fun. But there's no way, even if I got paid like minuscule amounts of money for this, there's no way it's worse than being enlisted in the military, at least not being a lance corporal.
Yeah, well, you know what? I consider it my job because I avoid a responsibility all day to blog. So
that's true, which, again, part of being enlisted in the military. So, like, think of the worst thing you've ever had to do. Like, whenever people have jobs, they're like, oh, it's so stupid, I just – sweep floors and I clean and I just get the boss coffee. That is your main mission as an enlisted person, and you have to do it for 4 years.
Yeah, and you you can't quit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you quit and you run away, they're just like, well, when you come back, we'll put you in jail. Like, the one dude in the Air Force was UA or deserter, I guess, for 45 years, and they brought him back and made him serve 30 days in the brig.
30 days? You got off pretty easy, honestly.
There should be a rule, like, if you get out, like, if you run away and you're UA for longer than you have served, so, like, if you serve for 2 years, you leave, and you're gone for 2 years, like, you win. They're not allowed to look for you anymore. But you beat them.
Yeah, that is a W. Was he living in America?
Yeah, he was. Like, I forgot. Again, I don't read, you know, we don't read articles, we read headlines. But they found him at his house. Like, there was a bunch of cops there and stuff. And they was it that big of a deal? What Air Force dude was having that bad of a day that he was like, you know what? Let's go ruin this guy's life.
Yeah, let's go find him.
Just for the next 30 days. Let's go pull him away from his family because 45 years ago, he left and decided he didn't want to be in the Air Force anymore. What a jerk.
Wow. Well, props to that guy.
Caitlyn Jenner, formerly known as Bruce Jenner, says she knew OJ committed the murder. Shocking. Who knew that OJ Simpson committed murder? I didn't.
I thought all of America knew that OJ Simpson committed a murder.
Oh yeah. See, I didn't know that. I thought he got off. I thought he was definitely not guilty. So you know, Caitlyn Jenner definitely didn't take the stand for that, but can we charge her with perjury anyways for knowing that he did it and not speaking up?
Well, here's the loophole in that. You could charge Bruce Jenner with perjury, but Bruce Jenner's dead.
Yeah, essentially, I suppose. So she's good. So pretty much anything that she knew while she was Bruce, she can say it's null and void because he's not here anymore.
Clean slate.
Hmm. So that's it for MSN splaining. Ryan Leaf, former superstar NFL quarterback, said in an interview this week that he was not meant to be a professional football player.
Yeah, of course. You're meant for a life of crime.
You don't say. He spent more time in jail, I think, or is pretty close, more time in jail than he did as an NFL quarterback. And it took him till, when did he get drafted? Like 96?
98, same year as Peyton Manning.
98, took him so almost 20 years to figure out that he wasn't meant to be an NFL quarterback. I think most people figured that out by about 1999.
Yeah, like, that definitely seems to be a wake-up, maybe even in college while you were playing all that football.
Yeah, good for Ryan for finally figuring that out. So what we were talking earlier this week, Pat Riley, you said he was going to, like, his wife had to talk him down from not killing himself or something?
Yeah, essentially. So Pat Riley was involved in some sort of biography about himself. I didn't really read the details, really skimmed through it. But after LeBron left the Heat, he considered penning a letter in the same style that Dan Gilbert wrote when LeBron left Cleveland. And I'm so unhappy that that didn't actually come to fruition.
Well, actually, you're wrong, because it did. So one of the cool things about living in Washington, D.C. on an intelligence base is that I can find a lot of things out.
Okay.
I happened to come across a letter, a rough draft, from Pat Riley written to the Miami Heat fans. Should I read it?
I would love for you to read it, Dan.
All right, so here we go. So this is Pat Riley after LeBron James left Miami, after leaving Cleveland, going to Miami, winning two championships, and then leaving Miami again. This was written in Wingdings, so it's pretty hard to decode, but I managed to do it. So here it goes. Dear Miami, all of South Beach, and Miami Heat supporters, wherever you may be tonight, as you now know, our former hero who vacationed in this very region that he deserted this evening is no longer a member of the Miami Heat. This was announced with a several-day, narcissistic, self-promotional buildup culminating with a letter written in Sports Illustrated that he did not even write. This decision is unlike anything ever witnessed in the history of sports and probably the history of entertainment. Probably. Clearly, this is bitterly disappointing to all of us. The good news is that the ownership team and the rest of the hardworking, loyal, and driven staff over here at your hometown Heat have never betrayed you, nor will you ever betray us, except for that one time that you guys left early and then Ray Allen made that shot and you tried to come back in. Unless, of course, we won't betray you unless better opportunity arises elsewhere. There is so much more to tell you about the events of the recent past and our more than exciting future. Over the next several days and weeks, we will be communicating much of that to you. You simply don't deserve this kind of cowardly betrayal. You have given so little and don't really deserve anything, but this is going to cost me a lot of money down the road. In the meantime, I want to make one statement to you tonight. I personally guarantee that the Miami Heat will compete for the 7th or 8th seed in the East and maybe even possibly make the playoffs after overpaying an overrated kind of old European point guard before the self-titled former king wins one. One was scratched out and he's had two championships in Cleveland. You can take it to the bank. So that was pretty much just like Dan Gilbert's letter. And then actually he continued on in the closing. If you thought we were motivated before tonight to bring the hard word to Miami, I can tell you that this shameful display of selfishness and betrayal by one of our very own has shifted our motivation to previously unknown and previously never experienced levels. Some people, they think they should go to heaven but not have to die to get there. Sorry, but that's simply not how it works if you aren't a rich old white guy. This shocking act of disloyalty from a guy who left his hometown, family, and friends just to come here and play basketball and take us to the finals four times, win two titles, sends the exact opposite lesson of what we want our children to learn and who we should want them to grow up to become. But the good news is that this heartless and callous action can only serve as the antidote to the so-called STD problem in Miami, Florida. The self-declared former king will be taking the STD problem with him up north until he does right by Miami and Florida. And me, James, and the town he plays will never, unfortunately, own this dreaded spell and bad karma of being the best basketball player ever. Just watch. Sleep well, Miami. Tomorrow's a new day, I promise you that our energy, focus, capital, knowledge, and experience will be directed at one thing and one thing only, delivering you the championship you have long deserved and is 2 years overdue. Pat Riley, majority owner, Miami Heat.
Wow.
Wow.
That was electric.
That, I mean, if I didn't know any better, it would have sounded like somebody, like Pat Riley, took Dan Gilbert's letter and then just made some stuff up for him that fit his description.
Yeah. You know what? The difference is, though, is that I think Pat Riley was correct. I think he was an eighth seed there.
They definitely got in. I don't know. They definitely weren't an eighth seed last year. They advanced. I think they beat the Celtics. I think they were a five.
Really?
But they did get in after overpaying an old overrated point guard in Goran Dragic. So, man, he really hit the nail on the head, unlike Dan Gilbert, who promised the championship and then got three first overall picks.
That's incredible.
Yeah, go Caps.
Yeah.
So, you got anything else to add?
You know what? I got nothing.
Got nothing? You know what? I got one more thing I want to... two more things, actually. I forgot to bring this up. Ezekiel Elliott, his mother, some account, like Twitter account, like SEC fan 69 or something like that, some, you know, idiot mentioned, like, oh, how did Ezekiel Elliott pay for that car in college, blah, blah, blah. And his mom, with some absolute fire, sent back at this guy. I'm pulling up the tweet now. Okay, no, I'm not going to look for it because I can't find it. But she said something along the lines of, because his parents are hardworking and bought it for him, and not every black person is in poverty. And it was pretty fire flames right at that dude. Because if you're an SEC fan, you're obviously white and from Alabama. And to be fair to him, he probably didn't know that black people can work hard and make money, because he has no contact with the outside world. Living in Alabama is like the North Korea of the United States, and they aren't told anything other than that Alabama's good at football because they still don't have internet.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that a booster probably bought that car for him now.
You know, that I've never heard of that happening before, have you?
Yeah. Only at UNC when they got Carolina Blue Hummers.
I think that was just a coincidence. I don't think – the NCAA wouldn't do that. They're not that crooked.
No, definitely not. NCAA stands for I got nothing.
Well, you know, we'll think of something good, and we'll tell you guys next week what NCAA stands for.
Not crooked, affirmatively, actively.
Yeah, that is actually what I thought it stood for. I just Googled it, and apparently it's the National Collegiate Athletic Association, but I think that was wrong. I think people can edit Wikipedia.
What's a collegiate?
I don't know. I dropped out of collegiate.
Oh, rough.
So that takes, you know, we're about, what, a little over 45 minutes here?
A little bit.
That was golden. That was our timeline that we were given, and we maybe just went over it. Let's do some self-critiquing here before we go. I'd say better audio this week, worse content.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Definitely better audio. Content not there.
No, it wasn't. I think we had a lot of good stuff. We just didn't bring our A game. It was probably because I was ready to do this at about noon, and you didn't wake up until 2 o'clock. So
yeah, that probably has a lot to do with it. As always, I'm going to do this hungover every single Sunday. As is the Irish Catholic way.
Wait, we forgot the most important segment.
Oh yeah,
health and fitness.
Yes. Health and fitness.
You got to close it out with health and fitness. What's the healthiest thing you ate today?
I had a protein shake.
All right. Is that all? That's probably all you've eaten today, huh?
It is all I've eaten today. Yeah.
I actually, I'm being a good one. So the last like week, I've been trying to, not even really dieting, just trying to not be absolutely disgusting. Like, hey, maybe I won't drink like two Cokes, and maybe I won't drink or eat 9 bags of candy today. And so I've been having like a smoothie and a salad at least once a day, and I lost 7 pounds already.
Wow.
In 5 months. Just from not being disgusting.
Yeah, 7 pounds from your calves, maybe.
Yeah.
Did you work out today?
Not the traditional way, but so I went golfing last night. I hit the range first. I hit 80 practice balls, and then I played 18, and I hit way too many practice balls. And about by hole 12, I was absolutely gassed. Like, I didn't even want to play anymore because it hurt to swing the club. And then today, I went back to the driving range, and I hit 200 balls, and I have never been more sore probably in my entire life. I feel like I just maxed out my deadlift for about 15 consecutive days. My lower back and my hips are absolutely shot.
And that was Talking Tiger.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I shot a 91 on 18, so that's probably equivalent to about what Tiger would shoot these days, and my back's hurt. So all I have to do is grow a shitty goatee, and we're going to be on same level here.
Yeah, but you also have to cheat on your wife, so...
Well, hey, it's for the love of the game. Sorry, Kayla. You know, it's not my fault. Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game. That's what
yeah, and that was legitimately Talking Tiger. yeah, that's all I got for this week. I blame you, America. Maybe come with some more fire content this week. So next Sunday,
yeah,
it'll be
how about better show? How about some more people mess up and let's get some celebrities to die this week so we can talk about that? Because I predicted an Aaron Carter death and it didn't happen. So yeah.
I mean, somebody's got to take that guy out eventually.
I'm going to call on all of the celebrities right now before we go, and somebody overdose. Let's give us something to talk about.
Okay, cool. Let's do it.
I think that's a good way to close it. So you guys, this will be on. Well, you're already listening to this, so there's absolutely no reason to tell you what this is on. But make sure you check me out and the rest of the guys over at Waiting for Next Year for all your Cleveland sports content, and you can check out Brennan and myself as well over at The Point After if you want some pretty poor quality reading but some good laughs and some time to kill.
Yeah, thanks for making me feel like a big old piece of shit.
That's what I'm here for. That's why we're friends.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, if you want to call it that. All right, guys, we'll catch you next week.
Welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.